Barkley's gone. Well, there you go. All right, now, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, you have reason to be depressed. But some of you are just depressed because it's so darn cold out. Seasonal affective disorder, known as, the winter blues, or the acronym SAD, is a form of depression that affects nearly 10 million people every single year. To talk about the cold weather and whether or not that drives millions of Americans to depression, we have clinical forensic psychologist Dr. John Huber. He's based out of Texas. He's the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a nonprofit organization that brings lasting and positive change to the lives of individuals that suffer from mental health issues. He's been a mental health professional for over 20 years. Dr. Huber, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day to join us, sir.
Well, thank you for having me on, Cruiser. So I have a question first.
Yeah, go ahead.
So does that mean Cleveland has a perfect record?
That is perfect, yes. Perfect in futility. Perfect.
Okay. Perfect. Just I have a big friend here in San Antonio who is a major Cleveland fan. So.
Oh, poor guy. that poor soul. it's terrible. So let's say we have a mild winter. Are as many Americans going to get depressed? Is it cold temperatures that drive us to depression? And why does it make us more depressed?
Well, what we know is that actually sunlight plays a major, major part in production of your own neurotransmitters that affect your mood and affect or mood regulation. So the less sunlight we have, the greater chance that our neurotransmitters are going to be messed up and out of whack and cause the depression. So that's the biggest part of it. But mm-hmm. What happens is, you know, as the days get shorter and the holiday season now is over and we're in the dog days of winter, so to speak, you know, January and February tend to be our coldest months.
Yeah.
We tend to isolate ourselves so much more than we do any of the rest of the year. You know, earlier, as winter was progressing into the holidays, we had all these social obligations, work parties, family obligations, and shopping and all this kind of stuff. Now we don't have those. So what happens is we tend to, hey, it's cold out there. I don't want to go outside. I'm not going to go outside. And then you start wallowing in your mental health issues, whatever they may be.
Wallowing in your own funk.
Yes,
that sounds
exactly.
Good.
I mean, that's it.
That sounds fun. It is interesting because I had a friend tell me, one who's retired, who's been retired for a few years, and he lives here. He didn't move to Florida or move someplace where it's warm all the time. And he said it's much more difficult to be retired in the winter months because there's not as much that you can do. You're cooped up inside. Your outdoor activities are shut off for a while. And I never thought about that. But I think there's a great deal of truth to that. At least if you're retired, it's harder to be retired, at least in this climate, this time of year, because there's no golf, there's no pool, there's no, you know, take a long walk in the park or go hiking,
right,
or whatever else, because it's too cold. So I guess that leads
with
to depression.
With old age, we know we have brittle bones and things like that. So do I want to risk walking and maybe hitting an ice patch and breaking my hip?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of danger involved in this type of stuff.
What can you actually tell a patient, though, doctor, that comes in and shows some signs of depression, and you, after talking to this patient, you ascertain that, well, this person is really kind of depressed because of the weather, because of the winter and because of being cooped up inside? I mean, how can you really treat that other than to say, well, you know, you're just going to have to buck up and wait till spring? I mean, there's really nothing I can do for you.
Well, you know, and that's kind of the feeling we get sometimes. But, you know, the few things we can do, you know, if you have access to, say, a gym, or you have one in your home or someplace like that, physical exercise actually helps serotonin and other neurotransmitters be produced. So you can kind of counteract that lack of sunlight by increasing your activity level. However, a lot of us don't have that option. So what I tend to do is try to get my clients to get involved in activities year round, such as yoga and things like that, that they can do by moving a coffee table out of the room of their living room, and they've got room to do that then. And, you know, I'm always reminded of one of my old football coaches who said, you know, no matter how bad it is, get up, get dressed, and get moving.
Yeah.
And, you know, the three gets, you know, you got to do it. And even if you get moving and it's just walking across your living room floor, you've done something that day. And you need to keep that habit going because it gets harder the less you do.
Yeah, there are things you can do to socialize with people that don't necessarily demand that you're outside someplace.
Exactly.
And so you'd suggest, what about doing tasks or projects around the house? Is that something that would be helpful, or do you think that people who are depressed by this weather need to get out of the house?
Well, I think moderation is the key here. If you find yourself doing major projects that just keep you locked in and maybe even more isolated, then I'd say do a little bit of that. But do try to find things. I mean, I don't want you to be Gibbs on NCIS and be building a boat in your basement and that's all you do.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, painting a bathroom, changing the tile in your kitchen, you know, something like that you can actually walk away from and say, look, I did this.
Yeah.
You know, that has that natural reinforcing and uplifting kind of feeling that can be very beneficial. You may not get many of those over the winter.
Yeah, and as you said, get moving, do something. If I turn on more light in my home, does that help at all? I know it's not natural sunlight. It's artificial light, but does that help?
Well, there's some research that suggests that if you do something like go to tanning beds and things like that, that it does counteract the lack of sunlight because it's full spectrum light. And you can, for example, get full spectrum light bulbs, fluorescent and otherwise, that may be beneficial. I know actually my mother-in-law does that in her office. She replaces the fluorescent lights over her head with the full spectrum fluorescent lights.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she doesn't have headaches due to scotopic sensitivity syndrome. In other words, the flashing of the fluorescent lights, it runs so fast we don't consciously perceive it, but our eyes are adjusting to it all the time. And by putting the full spectrum in there, she has significantly less headaches and stuff caused by eye fatigue. So it may be a good idea to do that anyway. And one of the treatments for SAD is a face lamp that essentially is a full-spectrum light that you could, you know, if you stay too close to it, you could actually kind of get sunburn from it.
Mm-hmm.
But you put that as a lamp on your desk. So I would recommend that if you have that option, if you have that ability, go for it. But again, you know, I don't necessarily want you to go and tan so much that you end up with skin cancer. So
yeah.
Do things in moderation again.
I also saw something, too, that if you have plants in your home, it somehow helps. Is that true?
Makes plants are amazing, you know, and I'm not a botanist, but, you know, my daughter has just about every kind of rodent as a pet in her room, and it just drives me nuts. And, you know, she cleans them every other day, and it's still, I'm like, look, you got to keep this thing clean. We went and got a bunch of plants and put them out there, and the difference was so dramatic. I mean, they help control odors, and we got some and put them in our room that actually release most of their oxygen at night. So while you're sleeping, you get a boost of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly recommend plants as well.
So it's a good idea to get moving and turn on the light and get some plants and be social and I guess have a plan. I mean, again, if you're kind of stuck with some time on your hands in this kind of weather and you're limited in terms of outdoor activities, try to find some other activities, but come up with some sort of a game plan that might help you avoid some kind of depression with these kinds of cold temperatures.
Well, yeah, and having a plan is important. I want to make sure that everybody has enough food. If they get shut in because of the weather, you can't get out. Make sure you have enough of your medication if you have that. Also, some of the medications that we have out there make it difficult for our bodies to regulate our core body temperature. So you want to be very careful with your medication. Maybe call your pharmacist and just ask them quickly, is that something you have to be worried about? Because that can lead to significantly more medical problems that would just exacerbate your whole problem.
Yeah, and I think these temperatures exacerbate, these ridiculous low temperatures and these below zero wind chills. That makes it even worse. I mean, because I'm not a winter kind of guy either. Summer is my favorite season.
Uh-huh.
I much prefer the warmer weather to be able to have the option of being outdoors or doing things outdoors. But there's a line between, okay, just winter and it's going to be cold and I'm going to need a coat or I'm going to need a jacket. And this kind of crazy stuff like we've seen here over the last few days where you talk yourself out of doing something, even going somewhere because you don't feel like getting into a cold car. It's I mean, these kinds of, if it doesn't depress you, it puts you in a more sour mood. Would I be right?
It does, and it makes it difficult. Makes it difficult for everything you do. I mean, it hurts just to, you know, unlock the door because of how cold and tender your fingers are.
Yeah, I'm walking the dogs in the morning, and the last two mornings I've cut the walk short because it's so. I mean, I'm wearing gloves, and when I get home, my hands hurt. And I got gloves on. You know, it's not like I'm going out there like you see some of these people out there wearing shorts, or some of these people you see this weekend doing these polar bear plunges. I don't know.
Yeah, they did that here in Austin too. It was crazy.
Are they nuts? I mean, you got the qualification to certify them as being crazy. Are they? I mean, I can't say they're crazy. I'm just a talk show host. You're a clinical psychologist. You can say they're crazy.
Well, I definitely know that there are actually some health benefits from exposure to extreme cold, but much more than a few seconds, and it becomes potentially life-threatening.
Yeah, so, right. It does open pores in your skin. I mean, I guess it's good for that, but again.
It'll wake you up a little bit when you're trying not to fall asleep.
Right. Yeah, that can help you. Well, although, you know, cold temperatures do make you more alert, supposedly.
Yes, but when you sleep, having a colder room when you sleep actually helps you have a better, more peaceful sleep.
Yeah, see, there you go.
It's kind of oxymoronic.
Yeah, it does. Doctor, it was great fun talking to you. I appreciate it. Hopefully we've maybe helped some people who have the winter blahs or the blues or sad, this seasonal affective disorder. I appreciate your time this afternoon, and hope.